permit for the City of Healdsburg Wastewater Treatment Facility. This is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of a revised National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit for the City of Healdsburg Wastewater Treatment, Reclamation, and Disposal Facility. This item has been properly noticed. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you'll tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Great. Thank you. We're going to have a staff presentation followed by a discharger presentation and then comments from interested public. And Jean's walking up to me quickly. Thank you. And I would like to start with the staff presentation.
Okay, yeah, this is just for pointing things out. Okay. So good morning, Chairman Hales and members of the board. My name is Kathy Goodwin, and I'm staff to the regional board, and I will be giving the staff presentation this morning for the NPDS, or proposed NPDS, master reclamation permit for the City of Healdsburg. Your agenda package this morning includes a very large permit document. You can't miss it. It is presented in strikeout and underline format, and then we've had two public review drafts of this permit, one preceding the June board meeting and then the one that we put out in September. And so the underline and strikeout, that, or I should say language that was changed in response to the second public comment draft, was highlighted in yellow. If you look really close at your yellow copy, you can see the yellow highlighting. Next time I'll use a different color if I ran into this again. There's also a response to comments document and 9 comment letters that were submitted on the second public review draft, as well as the response to comments document and comment letters sent that were given on the first public review draft. I would like to enter the file into the record. And then I also want to mention that this morning you were provided with a copy of a September 14th letter submitted by the City of Santa Rosa. This letter was submitted by the city on time. Unfortunately, it got misrouted once it got to the office and didn't actually get to me until last week. The most significant comments made by the city are similar to comments submitted by Healdsburg, Russian River Watershed Association, and others. And so most of the city's comments are addressed in the response to comments document. There were some comments that staff felt that minor changes to the reclamation language would be appropriate for. So I have made some late revisions. You've been given a late revision sheet, and I'll talk about those later in my presentation. So next slide. I'm in control of that. Okay. I'm not used to doing it this way. Okay, so here's a map to refresh you on the facility location. We've got Highway 101 running north to south, Russian River running generally north to south. The wastewater treatment plant is located here. City of Healdsburg is located up above, north of the treatment plant. And then we also have Basalt Pond shown in the slide here. Basalt Pond is there where they discharge their wastewater to, and I'll talk about that in the next slide. So this is an aerial view of Healdsburg's wastewater treatment system looking to the south. So south is that way. This photograph was taken since the new wastewater treatment plant was completed, so I think the photo might be a 2008 or 2009 photo. The treatment plant proper is right here. The original treatment plant took up a much larger footprint because it was a pond-based system, but due to the use of membrane bioreactors and ultraviolet disinfection, they take up a pretty small footprint on the wastewater treatment plant itself. Also in this slide, there's this pond here is a membrane-lined pond that the city will be using to store recycled water prior to delivering it to the reclamation system. And these other ponds here are remnants of the old treatment plant, and I believe are used primarily for high flow storage. We also have Basalt Pond, which is where Healdsburg discharges their effluent. And currently, they discharge to Basalt Pond year-round, but as you know, they're working on their reclamation system as a means to get out of Basalt Pond during the dry weather season. And I just wanted to mention that the proposed order identifies Basalt Pond as being part of the Russian River due to the fact that the pond is connected to the underflow of the Russian River. The proposed order requires compliance with the seasonal discharge prohibition. And as I said, the discharger is working on a plan, a reclamation plan, to get out of Basalt Pond during the dry weather season. So this aerial map was prepared by the city of Healdsburg, and it shows the proposed reclamation system. So again, to orient you, here's Highway 101 and then the Russian River. The treatment plant is right here. The salt pond is here. And all of Healdsburg's urban sites are on the east side of Highway 101 and generally north of this curve in the Russian River. So they're shown in white. They're a little bit hard to see, but they're, you know, scattered around the urban area of the city. All of the city's agricultural sites are on the west side of the river and are shown here in white, yellow, and hot pink. And this area right here is the Sire Reclamation area that we discussed in some detail at the June board meeting. So this proposed permit was brought to the board in June, as I said, and at the end of the public hearing and after hearing concerns expressed by the city and other commenters, the board directed staff to revise some of the reclamation language to make a distinction between the urban and the agricultural irrigation components of Healdsburg's reclamation plan. At the July board meeting, staff further discussed with the board the goal of coming up with language that ensures water quality protection, but in a manner that doesn't set up disincentives to agricultural use. Just to clarify why Healdsburg is so concerned about this, their reclamation system is 75% agricultural, and so they're going to need to be able to sell this to agricultural users. So after the July board meeting, staff revised the proposed order and recirculated it for public comment, with public comment being focused on those yellow highlighted underline and strikeout areas. So the second public review draft of the proposed order was changed in two main areas. First, the reclamation language was modified to include a new technical report section for vineyards with micro-irrigation. That's a new word. Micro-irrigation includes low-pressure irrigation systems, such as drip or the use of misters that apply the water at low application rates efficiently to the root zone of the crop. The technical report requirements for urban reclamation remained the same as in the first public review draft, but was expanded to include other types of agricultural irrigation, such as spray irrigation of other crops, such as pasture. The technical report section for vineyards with micro-irrigation has been simplified, but still retains the requirement for an Agricultural Irrigation Management Plan that establishes how much water and nutrients can be applied agronomically, and also requires a menu of best management practices for groups of use sites where the crop, agronomic needs, irrigation method, hydrology, and terrain are all similar. Since the majority of Healdsburg's proposed agricultural sites are vineyards with micro-irrigation, this process should simplify the preparation of the programmatic reports. We feel that micro-irrigation poses a lower risk of runoff than other irrigation methods and is easier to manage for groundwater protection as well. As users agree to take Healdsburg's water, they'll be required to submit site-specific reports, but these will not be subject to the public notice requirement that the programmatic report is subject to unless the site-specific report is for a type of project that has not been covered by a programmatic report. The second area that staff made changes to the proposed order in this second round has to do with a modification to the groundwater limitation that originally stated that there shall be no statistically significant degradation of groundwater. Since the recycled water policy and the statewide landscape irrigation permit identify the potential for minor degradation of groundwater from recycled water use, primarily due to salts, reclamation permits in our region should recognize this potential and provide the anti-degradation findings to support that determination. So this slide is a summary of all of the people who have commented on either or both of the public review drafts of the permit. And since there was quite a bit of overlap in the comments, I will proceed to address the key comments by topic. So Healdsburg and other commenters representing municipalities in the Russian River with surface water discharges remain concerned about the Russian River beneficial uses, receiving water limitations, and discharge prohibitions being applied to Basalt Pond. Regional Board staff maintain that Basalt Pond is part of the Russian River due to the subsurface and surface connections that have been documented through scientific studies and direct observations. However, total dissolved solids and specific conductance receiving water limitations have been removed from the proposed order since the second public review draft was sent out for public comments. Staff realized that these parameters are covered by an already existing receiving water limitation, being receiving water limitation number 15 in the order, that prohibits violation of any applicable water quality standard for receiving waters. Removal of these two receiving water limits makes the proposed order the same as Healdsburg's existing order, the one that they're operating under right now, the same. And Regional Board staff did this because we recognize that the water quality objectives in the basin plan for TDS and specific conductance are very strict. And in researching this, we realized that they were not scientifically based for the protection of beneficial uses. There have been proposals to bring this forth as a basin plan triennial review item. And if it's identified as a basin plan priority, staff could study the possibility of amending the basin plan to provide water quality objectives that are protective of beneficial uses and also allows for some assimilative capacity for salts to recognize urban and agricultural development. And just so you know, Healdsburg and other commenters have requested consideration of a basin plan amendment regarding this issue, and I will be passing those comments on to the basin planning unit. One of the biggest concerns regarding the proposed order continues to be in regard to the technical report requirements for reclamation and ensuring protection of groundwater. Healdsburg and other recycled water suppliers appreciate the fact that the proposed order has been modified to simplify the requirements for vineyards with micro-irrigation and also to remove the public notice requirement for all project-specific technical reports. But they are still concerned that even the current language could continue to pose some disincentive to recycled water use. I have indicated that they're willing to work with us in this process, and they're requesting that the regional board periodically review the impact of these new requirements and be willing to have some flexibility in considering modifications if that becomes necessary. Other commenters are concerned that the reclamation requirements may not be stringent enough to protect groundwater, and one of the biggest concerns is for those who have their domestic wells in and around the vineyard irrigation areas that are proposed for reclamation. Regional board staff believes that the programmatic and site-specific technical report requirements in the permit are both necessary and sufficient to obtain the information that we need to evaluate recycled water use. Since Healdsburg's effluent contains levels of nutrients and salts that are well below water quality objectives, in conjunction with the fact that we are talking about a use that will be required to be applied at agronomic rates with appropriate best management practices, staff does think that this can be done in a way that won't threaten water quality. We recognize that the preparation of technical reports will require some initial effort, but this approach allows for the discharger to avoid significant expenditures associated with site-specific anti-degradation analyses and the preparation of salt and nutrient management plans. The 30-day public notice period on the programmatic reports will still provide the public with an opportunity to express concerns that they have related to protection of surface water and groundwater quality. And I'd just like to say that the technical report requirement, from staff's view, is definitely not intended to pose a disincentive to agricultural recycled water use, but we feel that we have to have enough in there to ensure that we're protecting the beneficial uses and, you know, water quality of groundwater and surface waters. So, you know, we feel that the technical report procedures that we've laid out will provide an organized and consistent way to look at and permit recycled water without having to reopen the permit each time a new use is proposed. And another thing I want to mention is that staff would like to encourage and work with groups like Russian River Watershed Association and Water Reuse to get involved in helping to develop watershed-wide recycled water guidance documents, identifying things like agronomic rates, best management practices, and other guidance to help streamline this process. And today you also heard from Judith Olney, who is stepping forward with a proposal, you know, to work cooperatively in this process as well. Okay. So the slide that you're looking at now identifies additional concerns that were raised regarding recycled water language. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go through each one of them, but if anybody has questions about any particular topic, I'm certainly happy to talk about that. But I'll focus on just a couple right now. One of the comments that was made is that the recycled water language goes beyond Title 22 requirements. And this is true. We have, you know, requirements that do not come from Title 22, but they are in the permit to implement and support the recycled water policy and also to ensure that we are able to obtain sufficient information to ensure that water quality is protected. Another comment that was made has to do with some of the runoff BMP requirements that we have, in particular concerns about the requirement for a 100-foot setback between recycled water area and the edge of, you know, and receiving waters. Staff believes that the approach in the permit of requiring a 100-foot setback is a preferred setback, but allowing exceptions based on a demonstration that BMPs protect surface waters and the riparian zone is an appropriate approach. And then finally, I'd like to just talk about the frost protection item briefly. The city of Healdsburg is concerned that the public review draft of the proposed permit did not allow for frost protection and other irrigation or other agricultural irrigation methods or types like pasture irrigation. So staff modified the permit after the public comment period was over to acknowledge other agricultural uses such as pasture, but we were hesitant to make any big changes to the permit. So for now, we folded that into the urban section because we felt like it didn't fit with the vineyard with micro irrigation section. However, frost protection is a use that would not qualify for streamlined permitting, and the permit does not authorize that, so it's not authorized under this permit. But staff would consider possibly separate waste discharge requirements or a waiver of waste discharge requirements if a frost protection project is proposed with all the appropriate demonstrations that show protection of water quality. And finally, I would like to emphasize that staff tried to address in this process the concerns of the state board, the discharger, other interested parties through the reclamation requirements. And we did make numerous changes to the permit in that, you know, in that with that goal of working with all of the stakeholders in this process. So I'll stay on the topic of recycled water just a little bit longer, since so many of the comments received expressed concerns about this language. And to summarize this part of my presentation, I just wanted to discuss three significant changes that we have in this permit over what we've done in past permits in our region, and I'd like to explain why we're making these changes. First, we are now asking that recycled water producers show that water is being applied at agronomic rates. When water is applied at agronomic rates, staff believes that we gain some certainty that impacts to groundwater quality are minimized. And then in exchange for requiring this calculation up front, we aren't requiring that Healdsburg prepare a salt and nutrient management plan for the groundwater basin as recommended by the recycled water policy. We believe that by ensuring that wastes are applied at agronomic rates in combination with selective groundwater quality monitoring, that will meet the intent of the recycled water policy. The second significant change is the requirement that application sites specify BMPs intended to reduce the potential for runoff. This approach is consistent with the low-threat basin plan amendment that was adopted by the board last year. In exchange for minimizing the potential for spills, we are able to grant exception to the seasonal discharge prohibition for incidental runoff, thereby, you know, making that not a violation of the permit. And last, we're aware that some water recyclers are concerned about how we will be applying the reclamation criteria in future permits, particularly, you know, those with numerous existing reclamation sites. Staff's intent is to require upfront analysis for any new recycled water application sites, and we would propose to work with dischargers to develop reasonable schedules for evaluating existing use sites over time based on risk to water quality. Very briefly, this slide shows changes that were made by staff, separate from, you know, comments made by others. One change that we made, we added a reopener for constituents of emerging concern. As I was reading through the recycled water policy, it makes an explicit statement that permit should have a reopener in this regard, so I added it. And then another change is we added a requirement to monitor for nitrate and organic nitrogen. That would be in addition to requirements that we already had for ammonia and nitrate. And the purpose of this is to obtain sufficient information to determine the recycled water nitrogen concentrations and to verify, you know, the consistency of those concentrations. And then late revisions. Just this morning, you were handed a green sheet of late revisions. And these revisions focus in two areas. The first, and it is item number one in the late revisions, we made some modifications to the anti-degradation finding in the order, the very front of the order. And this modification is recommended to clarify that the permit in other sections, such as the groundwater limitation and in the fact sheet, identifies the potential for minor degradation of groundwater. So we wanted to make sure that that's right up front in the permit. A lot of times people will read the order and not necessarily see everything back in the fact sheet. And although the fact sheet does provide a detailed discussion, we brought and brought up and summarized the most pertinent conclusions of that anti-degradation analysis. The other, how many changes do we have? The other five changes are all recommended and minor changes to the reclamation language. These actually came out of our review of the City of Santa Rosa comment letter that we received late. And, again, we feel that these are fairly minor changes. I do want to point out, though, if I don't go into detail on all of them, a typo in item six. I was working on this kind of late last night, and I've got the wrong word struck out. So item six should say identification of the persons, and that should be struck out, and the word positions is the word that we want to add.
Okay. Exact opposite the way it is.
Exact opposite.
Okay, thank you.
I should know better than to work late at
night. We're reading early in the morning, so it all flows.
So you understand. That does conclude my presentation. And so at this time, I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have. And after that, my recommendation would be to open the public hearing for public comments and then adopt the order as proposed.
Ms. Coleman.
Yes, if I'd just like to clarify that we did get the City of Santa Rosa comment letter in time, but misfiled it, just so that's clear.
We're clear. Mr. Corbett.
Well, first thing, I want to make it clear that's going to come into the chair can rule it in the record, especially based on those facts.
So ruled.
The next thing is, and this permit is very complex, and so I'm a poor board member, and I may need you to lead me through some stuff here. But my first question relates to the basic structure of the reopeners. And I saw you had a specific provision on reopeners, which I think it was helpful and certainly warranted. But my biggest concern is whether the reopeners are broad enough for all the issues. Like you mentioned that the city was concerned, they wanted to take a look, they thought they're too stringent. Were all of those concerns covered in a reopener or not, you know, off your slide?
I believe there, I'd have to open up my permit, but I believe we have a reopener that's pretty broad in general. You know, if it is the board's desire, we could add one specific to recycled water.
I just want to make sure that we're as comprehensive as the number of issues that people want to look at. Because, as you know, if you don't have the reopener, you can get the anti-backsliding and the ship maybe have left port, even though everybody agrees that future modification is needed. So that's why I'm on it. And then I just have a little editorial comment. I think almost always if we go stricter than the Title 22 reclamation standards, we probably almost always ought to have a maximum reopener attached to that just in case our site-specific conclusions are wrong for the future. But that's neither here nor there for this permit, but for the future. Because I got, do we have a frost reopener, I guess? Do we have a Beyond 22 reopener? Do we have a non-degradation reopener? According to Ukiah, specific conductance appears to have a reopener. Total dissolved solids, TDS, has a reopener. Appropriate receiving water monitoring requirements is their reopener. And so I just want to make sure there's a comfort level that we've properly, in areas that we want to study and we want to get better educated, that it can be reviewed without clashing with the anti-backsliding provisions. I assume counsel on the other side will also comment. But
I don't believe it's the intention to reopen this permit for the frost protection, that we would look at it in a different context, perhaps a waiver or something else.
And this, let me expand. I think we need to approach the State Water Board, who would, and in the context of their frost protection regulations, it would be nice if they could give us some guidance to help any kind of permitting that we would need to do.
But I think we need to have, maybe legal counsel correctly, but my concern is if they make a frost protection ruling, which they're going to do, and we appreciate them taking the leadership and giving guidance, do we have a reopeners in this permit? Because will that run into the anti-backsliding provision or not? That's my question.
We wouldn't be opening this permit for the frost protection.
No backsliding.
Well, a reopener only allows the provision of studies to determine whether it can be reopened, is my understanding. So it's there's nothing automatic about it. But if you don't have that, and then it's in certain areas where you run into the anti-backsliding statute, then you can have done the study, everybody can agree a change needs to be made, and you may not be able to make it. So that's why I just want to make sure we're really careful on some of these, that we've made adequate provision, that as we educate ourselves and determine, and it can go different ways. Sometimes you do a study, it turns out not to be really favorable. Maybe the permit wasn't strict enough, but it can also be that it's too strict. And I just want to make sure that we have the right legal structure, that you think we will not have that problem. And especially a permit this complex, it's really hard to sort out as a board member, I guess, just to be honest.
Why don't we take that under advisement and then consider that, and we'll come back to you maybe at the end of the hearing with any recommendations that we think would be appropriate.
Okay. And then I had, can you just, and this is just pure education, educate me a little bit on the copper, because copper is all over this permit. It's hard for me to put it together. And I assume we're regulating it because it exceeds the MEC, maximum effluent concentration versus the most stringent. And then can you tell me exactly what the standard is, what the background concern is, and where we're going with it? I just had trouble putting that together out of the permit. Not saying it's not clear to somebody else with a better technical background, but.
Okay, well, the permit does contain final effluent limits for copper.
Yes.
And this is based on a reasonable potential analysis that we conducted using data submitted by the city of Healdsburg.
Is that the MEC in the table then?
Is what the MEC? In the fact sheet?
You have a table attached where you had a MEC that had exceeded the lowest, most stringent water quality, and I assume that's what you're referring to. But that's what I just walk me through, tell me what it is, and I'll shut up. But it was just confusing for me to put the whole
you have
permit
the page
together.
Page number that you're referring to?
Yeah.
I don't have the permit memorized.
Table F7,
well, no, the problem is it's in three or four different tables, yeah. And F7 is one of them.
Yeah,
that was my problem, shifting between the tables. And
it's on F47, Kathy.
Yeah,
and then I'll
go.
Try and find the other table. It's also on attachment F1, and then it's also in one other table. Right. And I just had trouble. What are we passing here in copper? Just tell me.
Yeah. Okay, well, table F7 identifies the MEC as being 11 micrograms per liter, and
right.
Then it identifies the most stringent water quality objective based on the minimum observed hardness level as 8.2. So based on that, we found reasonable potential for copper. The city believes that they will be able to meet that requirement based on the fact that the majority of their data is below the water quality objective and with their new treatment plant. Trying to think what else might help you understand what we've done here. Is that the main thing you're trying to understand?
That mainly
is why
explains
we,
it. It was hard to get out of the permit for me, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll be bringing more to you about
you'll
copper
educate me further
in January. So I'll make sure that we're prepared to explain that process.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other staff questions? Excuse me, board member questions for staff? I'm doing a John here. Okay, thanks, Kathy. We have folks from the city of Healdsburg.
Good morning, Chairman Hales and board members. My name is Michael Kerr, and I'm representing the city of Healdsburg. With me this morning are Jim Flugum and Greg Newmark, and they've all taken the oath. I want to thank your board for your June action, referring the previous tentative permit back to staff to address some of our concerns that we raised. We're very appreciative of that. I'd like to acknowledge Kathy Goodwin, John Short, and Kim for the professionalism that they've demonstrated during this whole process. They've been very responsive to, you know, our written requests, and we've held several meetings with them, and so we thought it was a very good collaborative process. As we stated previously, we understand that this permit is very difficult. There's a lot of issues involved here. It's a very thick document. Both the staff, your staff, and the city have invested a considerable effort in getting this order before you today. We appreciate the changes that have been made to date in response to our comments and with the recent discussions we've had with your staff. While the changes in the tentative permit before you address a significant portion of the concerns that we previously raised, we still have an underlying concern with respect to finding agricultural users that will be willing to voluntarily accept this water under the permitting requirements, despite the fact that our recycled water is some of the highest quality in the region. We're just not sure we can overcome those obstacles. We'll have to wait, and it's kind of a wait-and-see approach, but we're very concerned. The training and monitoring requirements contained in the permit present a burden that many growers may not be willing to accept. Although we've compromised in many components of the permit and support the technical report review and approval procedures developed by staff, we believe that those having those technical reports subject to a public review period just add a layer of uncertainty and subjectivity to the whole process. That's one of our fundamental concerns. As an example, we met with some of the stakeholders to try and work through some of these issues. We identified some of the studies that they would like us to undertake. They identified the consultant that they would like us to use to undertake those studies, and in fact, we did what they asked for. We submitted those results to your staff, and some of those were incorporated into the permit. But by the same token, some of those same folks that were at that table at that time have chosen not to accept those findings and have expressed an ongoing willingness to continue to fight the use of recycled water. We believe that giving that public comment period during those technical review studies will be just one more opportunity for them to come forward and express their continued reluctance to allow the reuse of recycled water. We believe that your staff is technically proficient and fully capable of reviewing those technical studies, and that their review and approval is more than adequate to protect the water quality and the objectives that your board has established. Setting those decisions into a quasi-political decision-making process really creates an unnecessary threat and burden, in our opinion, to moving this forward. Although we do appreciate the efforts and the information that was presented this morning in public comment by Judith, she represents multiple groups that have submitted responses to this permit, and although her comments this morning are, you know, we received them well and we're willing to work with her, the record that they put forward stands with, you know, their underlying position, and so we're concerned about that. We further believe that the adoption of this order continues to send mixed messages to the recycled water users. In staff's responses to comments, and I think Kathy mentioned it this morning, that this permit is not intended to be a disincentive to recycled water use. Unfortunately, the permit as a whole is just the opposite of that. The burdens in place will continue to place recycled water use at an unfair competitive advantage from a user perspective and a reporting perspective. We believe that your board should embrace recycled water as, you know, a very positive thing. You should take affirmative statements to reflect that, and that, you know, the adoption of the statewide recycled policy should be sufficient, that coupled with the Title 22 requirements. Some of the things that we continue to be concerned about are, you know, the technical reports that will be subject to public review, the limitations on the type of irrigation, micro-irrigation versus spray irrigation, and the technical reports and the studies that would be required to deviate from that, and the rigid 100-foot setback from water from streams. We're grateful for the opportunity to present our comments. We fully appreciate the many permit changes that have been made by your staff and that are under your consideration this morning. We've come a long ways from the last time we were here. We were fully loaded to argue, you know, all of the issues that we had last time, and we were prepared to do so at that time. But the compromises that we've both made at the City of Healdsburg level and at your staff have brought us probably, you know, head and shoulders beyond where we were before. So we're very appreciative of that. We respectfully request that you don't make any further modifications to the permit that would add additional administrative burdens. We think there's already enough there. We think there's too many. In closing, I'd just like to say we look forward to working with your staff in bringing this to a conclusion, and I'm here to answer any questions. And if there are anything of a technical or legal nature, I'll have Jim or Greg come up. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. One question I have in terms of the specified application methodology is spray irrigation is different from, it doesn't fall under the micro irrigation umbrella?
I think it's the difference between low pressure and high pressure spray irrigation. I recognize that there are micro emitters that, you know, could have a spray pattern to them, but I think, you know, under the low pressure definition, if there is one, I wouldn't say that that's a spray irrigation. You know, the impact sprinkler heads for pasture irrigation or other irrigation methods like that, that's the one that we think, you know, there should be some greater flexibility built into the permit going in.
Yeah, I know. I believe staff has tried to be a little bit more generous in their description of just using micro irrigation rather than, I think the problem was you saying drip irrigation is very specific. And so by going with micro, that should help broaden that.
They maybe broadened it a little bit, but not quite enough.
And that, I guess, would fall back on what your agronomic rates would support for an application then. So one might think that if you have a rate that would allow a greater application or a demonstrated, if the soil were able to accept water at a rate greater than what falls under micro application or irrigation, that you would certainly be allowed to work at those rates. And I don't think staff would disagree with you on that. I see John kind of nodding his head back there, and Kathy, maybe you guys could add a little bit to that, but it seems like we're still working with something new in our terminology here, but I don't see that as an insurmountable task.
Well, I guess our concern is the fact that if we proposed that type of an irrigation use, that it would be subject to special studies that would then be, you know, out for a 30-day, you know, public comment period, and it's just that continual bite at the apple that we're concerned with, from a public comment perspective.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any other board members?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Michael, thank you. For one, I see this as a big improvement, this permit, from what we had in June as well. I want to acknowledge a couple things here. For one, your plant is much, much better than the plant that was there. Your water quality, your effluent quality is fantastic compared to what it was. Acknowledge the work that you've done as a city in putting that plant together and operating and maintaining it. A couple things. I recognize your concerns. In some ways, as a city, you're first in our implementation of and trying to weave in the recycle water policy from the state. And it is a process of discovery. I would say, though, that you referred to the reports, the studies that you had done in consultation with some of the stakeholders, which I believe are the Yates reports. I did read those, and looking at those, they're informative. At the same time, there is an uncertainty to this whole thing. As I look at it, the anti-degradation policy of this thing is very circular in that anti-degradation policy really hinges on the fact that agronomic use, appropriate application rates, hydraulic and nutrient both, it's a check verify, and it's very circular in that way. I think this is a process of discovery. I think we'll learn more as we go. And I think in hearing from WASA this morning, and we'll probably discuss it and hear more about it as we go, that I think there's opportunities to learn. And Chair or Board Member Corbett, actually, in his reopener discussion, whether there's opportunities within this permit or in the future others in this use of recycled water, I think we just have to go along and see how this goes. And part of that is some special studies. Part of it is a public comment process. I do recognize your concerns. Again, I see it as a bit circular in that this anti-degradation policy, the application of this water in this place, especially the middle reach of the Russian and in high transmissive soils with your alluvial valley floor type soils is of a bit of concern with groundwater. So I want to acknowledge that from my side of the microphone. This is a big permit. It's big and chewy, and it's got a lot in it. And from our standpoint, again, you're going first. And in some ways, I think you suffer for that. Not suffer, but I think you're just, this is so new and it's so big that it's kind of hard to get your head around at start. I think staff acknowledge in here too that through the technical report and through the, you know, trying to get a programmatic approach, I think there's opportunities for programmatic approach in here through this process, whether we have, and we brought this up, I think, in discussions in June and July, in that if we have common application types and common soil types and crop use and that type of thing, I think we could learn and I think we could possibly even get better and more programmatic at making some of these processes happen. So I just want to acknowledge all that. And the other thing is, too, is that, and I said this before in some of the previous meetings, as you, as the city, this is under your permit. You're the master reclamation permit holder. So anybody that uses this water out here is doing it under essentially your umbrella. I personally view it as a means, the check verify part of this thing, which even Yates goes on to say, you know, to check verify, be cautious a bit on this, and that it's protective of you as a city. I see the application and the ag reuse of this water as a far superior alternative to basalt pond as a discharge point. So I applaud you for going forward and making this happen. I also acknowledge it's going to be hard. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, I would like to jump on the bandwagon in some respects with Mr. Noren. This comes to us as a recycled water policy that comes from the state. It's been coming for a long, long time, and I think we all recognize that if you're to get more water use in the state of California, the only source is going to be recycled. And the state has given us a recycled policy, but I think we need to recognize that this board is a water quality board, and so we don't have any objection to the recycled aspect. It's how does that get used? And as Mr. Noren points out, this is the first time you're unfortunately get to be the first to do this. I have, as well as you, a lot of concerns about do the end user, the vineyard or the pasture, take this on and take the problems that come with it. I think those are there. I will say this much, and all of us, our staff, your staff, have agonized over this. And we get a permit that is enormous in terms of where it is. But I think at the end of the day, we could, in fact, sit here all day long. I'm not sure that we'll get the perfect permit out of that process. So as long as there are reopeners in it, I think my feeling is we go forward with it, not understanding that it's perfect, but rather understanding that it is imperfect, and we'll find those imperfections and correct them. Because in the end, we do have to come up with a permit. You need a permit. We need to get this done. It probably has some problems in it, but we will fix those as we go along.
Appreciate that. I mean, as you indicated, we are the first ones. We won't be the last.
No.
We're certainly not the biggest. But as you'll hear from other comments this morning, you know, some of this is precedent setting, and we just want to make sure that, you know, we don't overburden
I think we need to recognize that this is not a template that we will now press on. This is not a boilerplate. This is simply the first one. We will take the good parts out of this, undoubtedly, and where we have made an error, then we will simply not replicate that in the future. But you are right. You are first.
And we do appreciate the reopener provisions, and certainly we would want to take advantage of any modifications that might provide some beneficial relief on our part going forward as well.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to build on that and say that, you know, I'm hearing from our staff and from other folks and stakeholders that there's a willingness to collaborate on this. And what we can, I think there's opportunity there to do that, and we certainly want to encourage that. As we go through the process with our reopeners, you know, in my line of work, and I think folks are otherwise familiar with, you know, in terms of a parallel with reopeners is, I like to call it adaptive management. So as we move forward and we are learning something, we can hopefully learn from that and make our changes as we go along. And I think we'll hear a little bit more about that as we hear from more stakeholders coming up and talking about that. But we have opportunities, and I know staff is certainly open to learning as much as we can from this so we can move forward and make changes as we need to within your permit and then work forward for new permits.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, Chair.
Mike.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment along in supporting the board. This is an exciting new time, and California usually is kind of a precedent-setting type state, and you know, being in the environmental field, this is really a really big step toward fixing things. For what, you know, I mean, we The reason we have the lack of water is because of the amount of people that we have and the lack of care that we have taken of our water in the past. And so as we kind of explore into this this new era of using recycled water, I see that, you know, the size of your city that you're going through this process is going to be beneficial for both ones that are larger and lower. So it's kind of a medium. And therefore, you know, I do agree that this is a real good prototype that that we're looking forward to working with and making a good model for others to follow.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I do also have some speaker cards. We'll transition into public comment. Judith.
Weren't they done? Again,
Judith, hang on really quick. I'm sorry. Greg, did you or anybody else want to come up and comment on that? I'm sorry. Didn't mean to. I do have your speaker card, Greg, and I kind of assumed we were all kind of lumped together here. So my,
and that was our initial plan. I'm Greg Newmark, special counsel for the city of Healdsburg. Board member Corbett had expressed some questions about anti-backsliding and potential reopeners in the permit. I expect that we may be talking with staff at one of the breaks to just make sure that we're all on the same page with those issues. Our position, anti-backsliding is one of those things that from the discharger side we're very cognizant of, because when you look at the rules, it's there's something for everybody there sometimes, and it's a very complicated issue to address. From our perspective, oftentimes we don't believe that there's an anti-backsliding issue. Maybe your staff doesn't believe there's an anti-backsliding issue, but ultimately that issue might be decided by a judge who comes up with something that none of us anticipated. So with particular focus on the frost protection issue, the city's position would be that those are discharges to land regulated under state law alone. Port of Cologne does not have an anti-backsliding provision equivalent to what's in the Clean Water Act. So our position would be for the frost protection issues, there's really no anti-backsliding issue before. I have had boards include findings to that effect, just to make sure that everybody's all on the same page, that, you know, these state law provisions, anti-backsliding doesn't apply at all. And that might be another something that we can discuss with staff to address some of the other issues, receiving water limitations that, you know, are regulated under the federal rubric. But unless there's specific questions on that, I don't know that I need to go forward.
Well, if you're confident in them, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that both sides were confident that we had a broad enough scope. That's all.
Yeah, I tried to say my confidence, particularly with the anti-backsliding rule, is relatively low because it's just such a mushy thing. But I think that we've worked with your staff to try to address that.
And I think in talking to John and Kathy that there may be language that we would be willing to consider to put in to just be clear that we're willing to consider if there's problems reopening the permit for those problems. I think with the frost protection, I think in the permit somewhere in the response to comments, we talked about perhaps doing a waiver or doing something outside of this itself to address that. And I don't know if Kathy wants to address that, but that seemed to us to be one way to, and the preferable way to permit that if and when it came up. And I don't know if you want to.
I think I can, I mean, the policy folks from the city side may want to jump in on that, but the frost protection issue is heavily freighted with policy issues, both from the water quality side, and it's one of those things that's just very tightly tied to the water resources side of the equation. The city confronts both of those policy issues, and I think that from their perspective, with the increasingly stringent regulation of use of surface water supplies for frost control, something that's very important to one of the primary businesses in this neighborhood, that this would be an opportunity to at least leave the door open to use of recycled water for frost protection as surface waters may become much less available for that. You know, we had suggested that that door be left open in this permit. We think that there would be a legal way to accomplish that, but I am hearing from board staff that I don't think that they're arguing about whether it legally could be done. It sounds like from a policy perspective and maybe a pragmatic perspective, there's a preference to do it with a separate permitting. As we've seen through what it took to get the permit that's before you today, it's been sort of a long process, and that's our concern with, we know that you're obligated to listen to all the stakeholders and try to make sure that valid concerns are addressed. We feel like that there's a lot of potential for less than valid concerns to consume a whole lot of time and delay some really beneficial projects. So, but I think I can just, we can discuss it later at that point. If there's no more questions, I'll go to the rest of the public comment.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Jim, did you have anything? Okay. Just didn't want to pass over you. All right, we'll go back to public comment now. So, Judith, sorry about that.
Again, my name is Judith Olney, and I'm representing today the West Side Association to Save Agriculture and the Clean Water Coalition. WASA is a member of the Clean Water Coalition, and we've participated in the administrative process for Healdsburg's wastewater treatment and disposal facility since 2003. And I've tried to summarize in my comments both WASA and the Clean Water Coalition's substantive written comments that we submitted. These are just our comments that we submitted in April 2003 and again in September 2010. Before I get into our five key concerns, I want to remind Mr. Kearns and the Water Quality Control Board that both the 2005 Environmental Impact Report and Healdsburg's Uncertified Negative Declaration do not address groundwater impacts. In fact, both of those environmental documents have virtually no analysis and very few mitigations. If I read directly from the Mitigated Negative Deck, it says that the water reclamation requirements will include all the mitigations for groundwater impacts. So we're not asking for another bite at the apple. The public has not had an opportunity to review any technical reports for groundwater impacts, and the technical report that's going to be required in the MPDES permit is really our first and only opportunity to comment. So our five key concerns with the permit as it stands are as follows. First, we believe a groundwater monitoring program must be required to validate assumptions, especially given there is no requirement for a salt and nutrient management plan. We're concerned that the permit and attachment F fact sheet concludes that there'll be minor degradation of groundwater quality, yet this conclusion is based on a theoretical model with unvalidated assumptions. Our second concern is that attachment G3 section 8.3 finds that the permit meets the criteria for streamlined permitting. We believe this is premature and that conclusions are being reached prior to conducting the technical report and based on assumptions which may or may not be true for drip irrigation. Our third concern is that the attachment G section B water reclamation requirements need reinforcement measures that go beyond voluntary compliance and reporting. We request that the permit set total limits for discharge of wastewater with Healdsburg metering discharges to each ag user and for ag users to have flow meters to ensure compliance with agronomic rates. Our fourth concern has to do with enforcement provisions and operations and maintenance plan provisions that we really believe need to be more protective of residential wells. We believe that the 50-foot setback requirement is just not adequate. Our fifth concern is on Attachment G, Section C, and some of the criteria for the programmatic technical report. We need to make sure those criteria are very clear so that site-specific reports can demonstrate they meet the criteria. The Clean Water Coalition and the Westside Association to Save Agriculture believes that the middle reach of the Russian River at its confluence with Dry Creek is Sonoma County's most sensitive watershed. This is our drinking water, and it's the aquifer for drinking water for over 600,000 people. We're concerned that portions of the alluvial plain have high water tables, have very shallow soils that are porous and underlain with gravel deposits. We're concerned that Healdsburg is focusing on ag reuse primarily when there are really more potable water offsets and benefits to the citizens of California from pursuing urban reuse. In terms of our first concern, the conclusion of net dilution of wastewater and small degradation to groundwater from an increase in salt load are really not substantiated at this date by the technical studies. We recommend, again, that the Water Quality Control Board require monitoring to inform the future salt and nutrient management plan and best management practices for ag users. Our concerns 3 and 4 are really around tightening up some of the water reclamation requirements and reporting requirements. We are very concerned that a lot of the requirements only state that there is voluntary. So if somebody has an accidental spill, you know, it's voluntary to report that to either Healdsburg or the Water Quality Control Board. We're concerned about discharger incidents, which are the release of partially treated wastewater or accidental spills and runoff from broken pipes and broken emitters. The setbacks from wells within the irrigation areas, we believe, are insufficient. Surface water and the endangered fish get a 100-foot setback, but residents only get 50 feet. We need at least 100 feet setback from our wells to ensure chemical aggradation in the soils before the water flows through our wells. We are very concerned that an incidental discharge is defined as up to 1,000 gallons. What if 1,000 gallons of partially treated wastewater gets accidentally released within 50 feet of a residential well? Who is liable for that drinking water contamination? And when is the well owner going to be notified? And who's responsible for notifying the well owner? For these reasons, Section B needs to identify safety equipment requirements for both the dischargers and for ag users. Flow meters and radio-controlled valves that prevent accidental spills are available and are becoming very much more cost-efficient. The permit needs to address how the discharger will monitor the amount of wastewater provided to each user based on their site-specific soil profile and how best to manage practices for fertilizer. In conclusion, we look forward again to a collaborative process during the design and the review of the required technical studies, and we believe empirical data is needed to inform the best management practices and create required training materials. Thank you.
Thanks, Judith.
Excuse me.
Yep.
You were making reference to partially treated water?
Well, the permit says, you know, everyone knows that every once in a while there's a glitch at a treatment plant, and maybe one of the systems fails, and it talks about reports if there is a discharger incident, a release of partially treated wastewater. So what happens if that happens? It gets into the irrigation lines, and then what do the agricultural users do when they have partially treated wastewater in their in their irrigation lines? So that's obviously a big concern for the people who have wells that are in the irrigation area.
Okay, but you're not talking about a normal partially treated.
No, we understand.
Just so that we understand that this is 99.999 or whatever actually Title 22 water that's coming out of this.
We understand that Healdsburg's wastewater is of a higher quality than Santa Rosa's, but it is not drinking water by any standard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brenda Edelman, followed by Miles Ferris.
Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I want to first commend your staff and say that I have been very pleased at the level of response and the level of detail on the way she manages information, Kathy Goodwin in particular. And I just want to express appreciation for that. I also want to say that I strongly support Judith Olney and her comments. There was, with the one exception that I'm just as concerned about urban irrigation as I am about ag irrigation. But other than that, I really admire the work she's done on this issue. I, too, have extensively commented on the permit. And where I'm coming from is I'm a downstream user. And I've spoken to you before about all the degradation that I've photographed in the lower river. And I recognize that Healdsburg's treatment is of a very high quality and that probably they're much better dischargers than some of the others in terms of what they discharge. But nevertheless, there still are many unregulated chemicals in the wastewater that we don't know about and that probably they don't have 100% removal of those. And on top of that, there's concern about the chemicals put on the land, such as pesticides and herbicides, that when there is a runoff incident, these items get carried with the water itself and exacerbate the problem. Now, of course, that would happen with regular water also, but nevertheless, it's extremely important that all types of runoff incidents should be controlled and prevented when at all possible. I've commented extensively over the years on the recycled water policy and on the Basin Plan Amendment, as you know. And I've been very, very concerned about this issue and the fact that there are still many unregulated chemicals that we don't know about. I'm concerned about the fact, I have spoken a lot, the biggest concern when I was commenting on the MS4 permit was the definition of incidental. And it seems to me that this permit now offers a definition of incidental, which is the voluntary compliance up to 1,000 gallons. 1,000 gallons sounds like a lot to me, and it also seems like an incentive that how would you know 1,000 isn't really 2,000 or 3,000? And when someone says the word incidental to me, I think a couple of gallons. I don't feel that 1,000 is incidental. And I'm concerned about the fact that there are oversight weaknesses in this permit. And I would hope that those will be overcome. But the reliance on BMPs, which don't always get carried out in their optimum performance, is a concern to those of us who live downstream or who have wells in the area. I'm also sensitive to the fact that 50 feet is not very far from waterways. And I know with all this talk about AB 885, when they talk about septic systems right near an impaired water body, they're talking 600 feet. So I think 50 feet is awfully generous. And I have concerns about that. Now, I know a lot of these issues will be fine-tuned and will be dealt with further, but I'm just sort of offering the other side of the picture. Healdsburg wants the reopeners to try and lower the regulatory requirements. I'd like to say that I feel in many cases they may possibly be raised. And I have concerns about people, as human beings, we all have times when we fail and we don't do things the way we're supposed to, and the environment suffers. And there's a lot of suffering in the environment right now. And if we want our children and grandchildren to have the benefit of clean water in the future, we really need to proceed with all care. And I have the sense that your board and the staff are trying to do that, and I urge you to hold up what you have placed in this permit. And one last thing, this is precedent-setting, and as it's obvious, all the other dischargers and Santa Rosa are watching this very, very carefully. So whatever you decide here will come back to you when you do future permits, if there's any kind of need to have tougher regs in some other places. People are going to make the argument that, well, you were easy on Healdsburg, why can't you be easy on us too? So at any rate, I thank you. I think on the whole this is a very fine effort, and I hope it meets with great success. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda.
Mr. Hales.
Mr. Massey.
Brenda, just because it's one that as a board we have struggled with, and certainly I have, we have absolutely no obligation to use what we take in this permit and apply it to any other. So if it turns out that we have not been stringent enough, that we haven't done something, please understand that we are not going to bind ourselves to this permit for any future permit. They will be done as it applies to the individual. Thank you.
Thanks. Miles Ferris, followed by Dave Smith.
Good morning. I'm Miles Ferris. I'm the director of utilities for the city of Santa Rosa, and we also operate our sub-regional system. I just want to make a few background comments about us, so you get a picture. We've been in the recycling of water business for over 40 years. I've been here personally 25. All the water we treat is at the tertiary level. We have exactly 66 ag users online. It's about 6,500 acres, including urban. We have 41 current urban connections. And what we're planning is 1,000 additional connections for recycled water that's estimated to cost us about $150 million. So obviously we have slight concern about that kind of an expenditure and that kind of commitment to reuse if indeed there are issues that just can't be resolved. Currently, we are in 95% of our water is reused in an average year. Many years it'll be 100%. Our permits are coming up in March of 2011. I must say I was pleased to see this, the change in incidental runoff in page G3. If you've ever operated, or even whether it's a recycled water system or an urban water system, straight water system, runoff will happen. There's just too many variables, too small plots to make it perfect, and it'll never be perfect. And if that's where everybody's headed, it just can't be done. It's impossible. We certainly agree that that we should manage it to the best possible practices, management practices, and that we really do work hard with our site supervisors and our farmers, grape growers, what have you, to practice appropriate irrigation techniques. My understanding is this is not a template for everything, and I will tell you that going to this idea of 31 days notice, a hearing, and what have you to set up a new customer is a very, very costly, time-consuming for staff. You don't have the kind of staff, even though I have a great staff. It's very difficult to go through all of this and bring one new user on that might be a half acre. That kind of thing is murderous from a cost standpoint. And I'll tell you, if you haven't tried to raise rates recently in this world, you do not know what dollars mean. You are beat to death. And I don't think that applies just to me. I think that applies across the board, that we are in a very difficult economic situation, and to try and raise these kinds of monies to do what we think is the right thing to do is an almost impossible task, if indeed it's so constrained that everything you do is takes hours and hours and hours and hours and thousands of dollars to put something online. That's very difficult to do, and there needs to be some consideration in this. I will also say that based on the size of land and the character, every single site we do is different. Our farmers have been given, back in the 90s, we started with a system that of farm plans, and that means each property has a farm plan. We tell them what their loading for nitrogen is. We tell them how many pounds of manure they can add or what have you, and ultimately we gave them test kits, and they are recommended to do soil sampling, because when you're all done, no matter how many calculations, the tests in the soil tell you whether you're at your appropriate rate or not. So we have done our very, very best. The other thing is 100 feet stream setback. It depends on the definition of a stream. If it's a dry draw in the middle of a farm and that's considered a stream, virtually we could irrigate no golf courses, we could irrigate virtually nothing. And it's a definition of what is a stream. And some streams flow year-round, some streams flow only when it rains. So what is it that is in there, which is a critical element in doing farm planning? With that, I must say I thank your staff, Mr. Rivera and Kat Coleman and John Short for taking the time to come talk to us about these issues. It's not that I'm pressing on it. I'm trying to press on a principle. Certainly the board staff is above and beyond reproach in terms of transmitting information and committing their ideas, and that I appreciate beyond belief. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Otherwise, thank you.
Thank you, Miles.
Dr. Smith, followed by Don McInhill.
Good morning, Chairman Hales and members of the board. My name is Dave Smith, and I'm currently serving as the Managing Director for Water Reuse California, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today on this permit. Like the others before you, before me speaking, there were quite a number of participants in the process that board staff quite graciously with their time opened up to listen to the ideas and went beyond just the written comments that had been received and really did engage in a discussion about some of the issues that were on the table from multiple perspectives. And I think the permit you have before you represents an admirable effort to address those issues in an equitable fashion. I just wanted to make a couple of points. And first of all, I want to acknowledge, because I came here to request assurance, and I feel like I've already gotten it, that this is not a template to be used in the future. I think Miles, who just spoke, indicated that some of the issues that are some of the solutions in the permit to some of the challenges that you see today would not scale up well to a larger program. And I just want to leave you with that thought, because it is so true that, for example, informing a handful of users monthly about your nitrogen concentration, as is required in this permit, is feasible. If you have 1,100 users and keeping them informed, and each with a particular different situation, we need to find a more workable solution. We need to provide the information, but needing to do it monthly may not be feasible. I want to focus on three issues quickly. One is that 100-foot setback, and I want to refer you to page G5, where it is described. And I'll just read it very quickly. All new recycled water use sites shall include a 100-foot setback to all surface waters, or provide written documentation describing why a 100-foot setback is infeasible and the best management practices that will be implemented in order to prevent or minimize the potential for runoff discharging to surface water. The reason why that is a problem is that the best management practices are needed at all sites. It shouldn't matter if it's 100 foot from the or within 100 feet or not. These best management practices in this permit and we expect in future permits are going to be a necessary component of a technical report that is found acceptable by the board staff. So for that reason, we're not clear why this 100-foot setback needs to be there. All sites within that 100-foot setback zone would need to have, and beyond it, would need to have this, the same BMPs implemented that are appropriate for the site to avoid runoff and minimize it. And in that regard, I want to go refer you to the previous two pages earlier than that and reflect on something that Ms. Edelman just said about 1,000 gallons being a sort of a threshold for incidental runoff. I want to point out, and Miles alluded to this in his comments too, that 1,000 gallons is not the threshold for what is incidental. I refer you to the second sentence in paragraph 8, which is, incidental runoff is defined as unintended small amounts of runoff. I don't know what small is, and I'm not here to belabor that point. From recycled water use areas where agronomic rates and appropriate best management practices are being implemented. And then the fourth sentence says, if you don't do that, if you don't implement your best management practices, what runoff you have is not incidental, and it is doesn't meet the test in your recent basin plan amendment for compliance with an exception to the discharge prohibition, and it would be a violation. And so, again, we're all expecting in the regulated community to have to implement, as we should, for any water source, management practices that prevent waste of water and contamination of groundwater. And so what we would like to see in future permits is a broader recognition of the power of the management practices that your board staff is going to require on these sites. And allow the planning to be done at a site-specific level and a programmatic level where that's appropriate also. And then my last point is to reflect on the comments you've heard about, and I made this comment about the first draft of this permit, a potential chilling effect on recycled water. And I think that this permit has gone a long way to eliminate barriers to recycling. And I want to point out a perspective for your consideration because I appreciate that this board does not want to create barriers to recycling. And that is that right now, this permit and your regulatory structure in general tends to focus, and Ms. Olney did in her comments in public speaking this morning, about recycled water. Well, there are, regardless of water source, there's a potential for misuse of water. There's a potential for groundwater contamination, and there's a potential for runoff and transport of pollutants to surface water. And to single out recycled water as a primary source of nutrients, pollutants, isn't appropriate. It's the most highly regulated of any irrigation water. It's the most highly documented in its quality. We know more about it than any other irrigation quality that's used, any irrigation source that's used, and it's not factually sustained that the water from a wastewater treatment plant treated to this level is necessarily the highest threat to surface water or groundwater. So in order to eliminate a barrier or create a hurdle for avoid creating a hurdle for recycled water, we would suggest that you look more broadly at water source to protect groundwater and surface water, and look at the need for nutrient management regardless of water source if there's a threat to groundwater. So thank you for your time, and I really appreciate the effort of your staff and you to grapple with this difficult permit, and we urge adoption of the permit.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the detail in making this review, and I certainly can say for our board, you know, it's certainly not our intent to discourage recycled water use, and I know it's not the intent of staff either, and certainly I don't think that what the potential inconsistency that you pointed out on page G3 in paragraph 8 between a definition of small and then how it conflicts or is inconsistent with you implementing BMPs on the site. That's something that, you know, may need to be sort of fleshed out as we go along. I know that that's something that staff would certainly work on to make that work, because it's not their intent is to get somebody caught in a catch-22 on that. So, you know, thanks for bringing these types of things out, and that's something that we should be building on.
Mr. Chair, don't let him run away.
Yeah, he's trying.
Be the last time he volunteers water testimony.
Dr. Smith, perhaps we can introduce you to Judith Olney, who is dealing with WASA and the demonstration project that they are looking at. As I understand it, they're putting up a fair amount of money, and you are, as you said, California Reuse, correct?
Correct.
Are you working with them?
We would be pleased to work with them. We wouldn't want the discussion focused solely on recycled water. Recycled water and other irrigation supplies ought to be on the table for discussion about how to put their effect on groundwater and how to avoid those effects.
Ms. Olney, have you ever met Mr. Smith? Okay, well, can we ask from our perspective, because as much as we like the stuff that you are doing in terms of voluntarily doing projects, as Miles Ferris pointed out, we live in an economic poor time, and for us to try and do this, for us to try and get this kind of information is extremely difficult, and where we have groups that can do the kinds of projects looking at it, this is something that we really want to jump on and take advantage of. So if we can encourage you and the recyclers of the state of California to work with groups that are doing some kind of a project that will, you know, get us good, solid information, I would encourage it, and I think probably every member of this board would encourage it, just because it's stuff that we can't get otherwise. And if we're to make better permits in the future, it's going to come from better information, and we really do need it. So I would encourage you to work with them if you could.
Thank you for indicating your receptivity to that, and I was quite pleased to hear Ms. Olney's comments this morning, and would be more than pleased to work with her. And I would also like to invite Virginia Porter and the Watershed Association into that tent also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the only way we're going to get the information that we need to make a better permit, and I think that's what everybody really wants. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now you can run away.
Yeah. Wanted to.
John's got something.
thank you as well, and say that I thought you gave us a lot of very thought-provoking comments for us to digest and figure out how to get the right balance. And so I really appreciate you bringing them up early so that we can sort of digest them and figure out really what is the best balance and how to approach some of these problems. So.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Thanks, Dave. Don McEnil, followed by Mark Brommersbach.
Good morning, Chair Hales and members of the board. I am Don McEnil. I work for Russian Riverkeeper. I'm also a resident, a ratepayer, and also a Flushing contributor in the city of Hillsburg. So I'm wearing a couple different hats here today. I also echo the appreciation of all the work that in particular Kathleen Goodwin and John Short and all the regional board staff has done, as well as Mike Kearns and Jim Flugum and the different people at the city of Hillsburg. In my opinion, the city of Hillsburg has gone above and beyond what the level of cooperation we'd love to have with other dischargers in producing the Yates report and then responding to our initial comments with an update. And I think they deserve a lot of commendation. Also, I echo the comments that we do have the highest quality wastewater in the North Coast. And even in these economically poor times, it is an extra burden when we get our sewage bill, but I know we're getting something great for that. Couple quick comments, kind of at a higher level. We've heard that recycled water is being singled out and things like that. I don't think I need to remind anyone that we are in an NPDES permit hearing here, and the subject is recycled water. So it's absolutely appropriate that we're focusing on that. In other permit hearings, we focus on stormwater, and we'll be looking at things like dairy waste and things like that. So I think it's quite appropriate that we're focusing on recycled water here. It is an absolute recognized need that we increase the amount of recycled water used in this state. Luckily, this year we're not facing the drought situation, but over the long term, as the population grows and as environmental constraints are placed on water sources, we do need to increase the use of recycled water. We absolutely support that goal with the caveat that I think you would support as well, that we protect existing water quality. One of the leading causes of lack of water availability in this state, and it's very prevalent in the south southern part of the state, is water pollution. Nitrate pollution in the Central Valley, industrial pollution down in Southern California. So as we increase the use of recycled water, certainly it's my job as directed by my board of directors, make sure we do it in a way that doesn't compromise existing water quality, because the goal is to increase our overall water supply. I think right now, and I think water reuse knows this acutely, is one of the biggest barriers to recycled water use is public confidence. A key to public confidence is robust, transparent information. And that is why, even though in many people's opinion this permit in its latest revision has been, some might say, weakened, some it's less stringent, whatever you want to call it, our support for adopting this permit is absolutely based on the public comment on the technical reports. We've reviewed the Yates reports. They are, even in the recent update, based on a lot of assumptions. One of the biggest assumptions is when you do any kind of modeling, you set a number for the amount of water you're going to apply. And if the conclusion is there's potentially no impact, well, using any more than that water invalidates that conclusion. So certainly the technical report is where we specify agronomic rate, and we get, as the public, and myself as an advocate and someone who gets water from this area, we get a chance to review that data and be assured, be given the confidence that we're doing the right thing and that existing water quality is protected. So certainly my support for this proposed permit before you is absolutely based on that public comment. I think that, I think Dave's, Miles Smith's comment about that every site is different and his concern that they'd have to do site-specific reports rather than cover multiple sites under programmatic reports is, you know, partially right and partially wrong. I mean, looking at the proposed irrigation area for this permit, just not picking on anyone, but one of the earliest specified irrigation areas is the Sire property, and some of that property is in the alluvial plain. Some of it is up on a bench land. So certainly that poses different soil characteristics, different topography within the same proposed reuse area. So there are issues to be worked through. And again, that's another reason to ensure that the public gets a chance as the real meat of this of the information in Attachment G is brought forward to the board staff, that the public gets a chance to comment on it. And I think that's just a critical part of this proposed permit before you. I think I'm going to forego a lot of my other comments. I think Judith covered a lot of similar concerns I have that I hope we can address here today. I think I will just end my comments, but I have a couple questions. In reviewing the permit, there were several references to metering to verify agronomic rate. I'd love, when staff comes back up to maybe address that question, you know, what level of assurance is the public going to get that the agronomic rate is indeed what is applied? And certainly, there are issues with, you know, when you get up to Miles Ferris's scale with 1,100 users, you know, communicating back and forth can potentially be burdensome, but I think via email and other means of electronic communication. You can communicate with a lot of people and also receive a lot of information back via electronic means. And, you know, the other question I have is, you know, I just kept hearing references to minor degradation of groundwater, and then I hear in other statements people talking about assimilative capacity. Certainly our support of recycled water use is not something where we see an allowance to use up all the assimilative capacity. You know, I worry about where that line is between minor and taking up the majority of assimilative capacity that exists until you start potentially bumping up against water quality standards. So hopefully that might be addressed in further discussion. Again, I'd just really like to thank the board staff and thank Mike and Jim and the folks at Hillsburg for you know, making what I think is a very productive process in wrestling through the issues on applying new permit conditions here in the Hillsburg permit. And it has been a pioneering effort. It has been difficult. And I think everyone's been very productive in the information exchange and discussions we've had with all parties. So thank you for your time.
Thanks, Don. Yeah, John.
I just wanted to thank you also for the concept on assimilative capacity, because that was really the concept in the Dickey Act that got amended in the Port of Cologne to go to protection of beneficial uses. I think we're going to have to delve a little bit into it. I don't know quite how else to do it, but I do think you're right. We don't want to return we don't want to carry a concept out too far that has not worked well in the past. And so what's the best in between the two? I don't know right now, but I thought that was a very telling comment. And really the state legislature said don't go too far down that when they passed the Port of Cologne Act in 69. So.
Good morning. I'm Mark Mommersbach, and I'm with the West Side Association to Save Agriculture. The West Side Association to Save Agriculture, or WASA, has been involved with this project, Hillsburg's wastewater disposal efforts, for quite some time. We were the first ones to challenge their moving the discharge from basalt into the gravel pit right next door to Basalt Pond, and which later led to, along with the Water Quality Control Board, getting a new treatment plant. This project's evolved. Basically, we are glad that they're trying to clean up the discharge into basalt, but I want to limit my comments really on the impacts on domestic wells. There's been a lot of other discussion about a lot of other issues, but I kind of wanted to put a face on it because my well is one of the wells affected, as well as many other WASA members who are immediately adjacent to the area proposed for wastewater disposal. And there's been a lot of discussion about the soil types and high transmissivity of the soil, and how there's a good chance that the wastewater contamination might get into the drinking water wells. And today, one of the things that concerned me in particular was the recognition in this yellow sheet that was handed out, that right up front, that they're recognizing there may be minor impacts to groundwater as a result of the project. And I really don't know how to deal with minor. You know, when you're drinking the water, is minor a problem or is it not a problem? And so we're concerned about that fact in combination with the fact that there's a desire to streamline the process in this area and make the requirements less restrictive. And let me say first off, WASA is not opposed to agri-use, and we understand the state policies, why this is important. But for a fact of fate or whatever, history, the Hillsburg treatment plant just happens to be located in probably one of the most sensitive areas to do agri-use in the whole county. And there are dozens of places where agri-use could be done without the level of scrutiny that should be applied to the usage in the Middle Reach aquifer. I think you guys seem to be very aware and knowledgeable about the differences between, say, pasture land in West Sonoma County versus right on top of the drinking water adjacent to the Russian River in terms of how that might impact groundwater and surface water. So I'm here to urge you to, even though we've heard a lot of concerns about the burden on the users or discouraging users, maybe in this particular instance, those restrictions and burdens are appropriate, whereas in other areas, maybe the conditions may be more lax. And that would encourage users in the areas where it's not such a burden to use wastewater versus discourage the use in areas where it is more sensitive. So it shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all for the ag reuse. So basically, that's my main concern, is that you know, I'm one of the people that's going to have a well that could be impacted, and so are my neighbors. And I just want you to realize there's people out here that are going to be directly impacted. Not trying to get away of the state policy here, but I think there's a rationale for either having more restrictive use requirements in these particular sensitive areas versus just areas in general in the county where it might be perfectly appropriate and much more doable to use treated wastewater. So thank you for your time.
Virginia Porter. That's the last card that I have. If there's others, please get them to Jean.
Thank you very much. Again, I'm speaking on behalf of the Russian River Watershed Association, and I'll add my thanks to those of all the speakers for the process that's been in place from the board and from staff to be able to have this kind of iterative process of looking at this document. And on behalf of the 9-member agencies that are part of the collaboration that is Russian River Watershed Association, I just want to sort of briefly paint a picture of what we hope recycled water provides us in our watershed in the future, and that is that it's seen as a resource, that it's managed very, very effectively, and that in the long run, that our agencies, all of whom really have the potential to realize the benefit of the recycled water resource, have robust systems where it's offsetting potable demands and is really integrated into the resource water supply mix, and I think we have that potential. We wanted to recognize the concepts that have come forward in the hearing today of putting provisions into the permit that would actually allow for the sort of adaptive management concept that Chairman Hale mentioned earlier, and we would encourage you to do that to the extent possible so that we can learn as this sort of new concept of a permit floats forward and are able to make the modifications that are going to make it better. That's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other board member questions? Yeah, I see Kat looking at me.
I am looking at you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Coleman.
Thank you, sir. A process suggestion, we've heard a number of things, and I think at this point, staff would like to have some time, perhaps while we hear HRC or do something else, to look at specifically the issues of the reopener and anti-backsliding, and before sending them away to do that, would recommend that have a dialogue from the board. Is there anything else that you would also like the staff to look at and consider in deliberations and come back with some recommendations?
Did we want to give, I know there were some other questions that were out there. Do we want maybe staff can come up and address any of those, which might answer our questions in turn before doing that?
It might be useful. There's been a lot.
Yeah.
It might be useful if you could give us a hint of what's on your mind as opposed to just sort of a scattershot response. And then we can then staff can come back after a break and address those concerns.
Sure. Board members, do we have anything?
Well, this goes a little bit on the reopener, just a couple thoughts. One of them is we almost, what I've seen, have a pattern of basing it on state board policy. That's great. We, of course, will defer to them. But every once in a while, the regional board may come up with a policy, and I think our reopener should also include regional board policies, because it would be the height of irony that if the state board didn't take action, we set a whole policy and it wouldn't qualify for a reopener. So I think that's one language provision. And then we have one that's tied to a specific Blue Ribbon Task Force, And I think it ought to be tied to the development of technical information rather than a specific blue ribbon task force, because it's not unknown to send it back. It's not unknown to get new blue ribbon task force or yellow ribbon task force, whatever. And I just think as a matter of technical language that we shouldn't tie it to any particular advisory panel. And then the rest is, I'm just very interested in, and I may excuse myself from the podium, just to review the staff language and so that I have a good understanding of it coming back to expedite the process.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Noren.
Kat, my concerns basically, I can't remember, and I can't find sitting here looking at it right now through a bunch of pages of a 50-foot setback from water wells. I don't remember seeing that in here. I've heard it said. I would like to just validate that that's in here. I remember a 100-foot setback from waterways. A general question with that, too, has there been or is there a requirement in here to go along with that of an identification of water wells within these area use sites? I think that would be probably an appropriate thing that would jive with that as well. I'm interested just also with Board Member Corbett, with the CEC kind of blue ribbon panel, what is the timing of that coming back? And that's just a general question. I know that there's a state board process in place to look at CECs. And I don't know what time frame is that coming back.
I believe they've already they're through with their and they've made their recommendations.
But when does that actually come in our way though, Kim? When does it affect? And actually, I see.
Ms. Dodick says the report has been received and the board will consider it for action before the end of the year.
Okay, fantastic. The last thing is I think there's been a general perception that a reopener policy is something that's going to make this policy less or this permit less stringent. I think a reopener is a policy or a process that swings both ways. So that's just a general statement. The last thing I had is just the streamlining of permitting. What is the criteria? What is staff's maybe just expand on that a little bit more in a discussion process? Because I think it gets to a couple things here. It gets to maybe some of the City of Santa Rosa and Mile Ferris's concerns when you do have 1,000 sites out there. What does streamline actually look like?
And moving down the line, something that Miles brought up that I think is good, and I didn't catch it in this report as I was reading through it, but do we have a definition of a surface water course, ephemeral, perennial, just some sort of qualifier on that, just so we can determine what defines one for that, establishing that setback criteria.
And I would advise some caution on that because we're generally waters of the state. And I know forestry, they have the three categories. There could be differences between the two, and I think we need to be careful of that and make sure it's grounded in Port of Colon Act.
Mr. Massey, Mr. Dunker.
Mr. Chair, let me reiterate that we're not going to get the perfect permit. I don't care what we do and how long we take. We are not going to get the perfect permit. So we really do want to get as good as we possibly can for the moment, understanding that we are going to do different things in the future and that we have the ability to do that. Certainly the reopeners allow us to do some in that sense, but can we get the permit done? Because we came today to do that, and I want to make sure that we get done with the city having a permit and everybody having something to work with. Otherwise, we are just adding and adding and adding, so needs to be done.
In the spirit of your comment, then, I'll back up to what I was previously asking for and maybe getting into some robust definition of what defines a surface water course, just something that would be some agreeable language that there's assurance that we will work to have that in there. Mr. Dunker?
I'll just, I think you've pretty much covered it all. Start down at that end. By the time you get to me, they've all been said.
Sounds good. All right, then I guess we'll just park this for right now. We will have, we're using Kim for her, because she's here, and this is what we, her lightning fast strikeouts.
It's our last chance for abuse.
It really is. And maybe we can then see if the HRC folks are out in the lobby and ready to go. And I guess what I would propose then is we would hear from HRC. And you know, I will probably entertain the idea of having lunch. Because we'll still have, after that, we've got, well, the county, and you've already talked to them about coming back in a while, so.
Yep. I said 1.
At 1 o'clock? Okay, so then we will hear from HRC. We'll take lunch, and then, I'm sorry, Kim.
I don't know, maybe we want to talk to Healdsburg real quick. I know Greg has a flight out at some point, and so, I mean, I wouldn't want to hold you up because we're eating lunch.
Good point.
Especially because it's my son's birthday.
Oh. So, I mean...
I
may
will family card. Of that. So
just to perhaps accommodate
absolutely
son's birthday, perhaps we would want to hear this before lunch.
That's fine. Absolutely. Okay. You bet. Okay. Work fast. Do you need one?
Is that what we're doing?
No. Oh. We were going to wait and see if we wanted HRC to come in.
Okay.
And just keep this rolling. Are you guys okay with that?
Or do you need a break? I want about a 30-second.
Potty break. Do it while they're coming in.
Okay.
Looks along. Mr. Clamped.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
Okay. Why don't you reopen it?
Yep. I will reopen it. Okay. Thank you. We're back resuming item number 6. Kathy, John, and Kim, thank you for working on this. Tell us what you found.
Okay, we talked about several things that the board has asked us to go back and discuss amongst ourselves and with the discharger. And I'll start with the reopener, the concept of a reopener provision for recycled water. After discussing this, staff believes that it isn't necessary to add a reopener for recycled water, and there's a couple of reasons for that. The first is that the permit gives us the authority to reopen the permit anyway. There's other general provisions in the permit that would allow that. In addition, the reclamation portions of the permit aren't subject to anti-backsliding, so we don't really see a push to do this. The city concurs with this. Okay, let's see. Next, I'll talk about what we were debating about, whether the permit should have a definition of a stream with regard to setbacks. Let's see. So 11. Yeah. So I'm going to go to page G5 of the permit. And, you know, we discussed this, and we couldn't really come up with a definition of a stream, you know, that we felt we could hang our hat on and not be too broad or too narrow. Right, I'm going there. So we looked over the language in attachment G, and item 11A on that page is where the 100-foot setback is discussed. And staff would recommend that rather hinging this on the discharger having to document infeasibility, that we actually modify that requirement to read as follows. All new recycled water use sites shall include a 100-foot setback to all surface waters or provide written documentation of appropriate BMPs that will be implemented in order to prevent or minimize the potential for runoff discharging to surface waters. And we feel that this language allows the user to come back to us and identify BMPs based on the type of, stream situation that they're dealing with in any particular recycled water use area. Anything else?
No. I would just note that our basis for this was that then surface waters can be applied broadly. It can apply to a number of, you know, waters of the state, waters of the U.S., but it allows for, as long as appropriate best management practices are in place, to not be restrictive in the same sort of way.
I'm getting there. If I go out of order, I might forget something. Okay. This next one is also on page G5. I'm going to be referring now to item 11C on that page. There was some testimony that brought up concerns about this reporting of 1,000 gallons spills or releases greater than 1,000 gallons, and tying that to the definition of incidental runoff. And what I'd like to say is that this item 11C is not part of the definition of incidental runoff. It really addresses more the issue of timeliness of response with regard to spills. You know, we're trying to, you know, push for that. And this language does come directly out of the recycled water policy. Okay, so now we're going to go back a page to G4. Let's see. There were some commenters, there were some concerns raised during the public comment period that the permit may not be clear enough on the issue of reporting spills. And I'd like to point out that water reclamation requirement B8 directly addresses that issue, and that requirement states that the discharger is required, well, shall require each recycled water user to report all violations of recycled water regulations identified in this order, including incidental runoff. All reported violations of recycled water regs shall be included in the discharger's quarterly recycled monitoring report, including incidental runoff events that the discharger is aware of. And we had added that last part about events that the discharger is aware of after the June board meeting, because concerns had been raised about, well, what if we're not aware of it? And so we tried to cover that base there. Now, going on to page G7. Item 19, I'm going to talk a little bit about the setback, the 50-foot setback requirement to domestic water supply wells. This requirement in item 19 comes directly from Title 22. That's where we get the 50-foot setback requirement. And Title 22 additionally does require that there be siting of all wells within areas that are going to be used for reclaimed water. So that also is covered, you know, by the Title 22 requirements. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so that covers new well construction as well as new discharge areas that are going to be within 50 feet of existing wells?
You know, I don't have the regulations right in front of the Title 22 regulations right in front of me. I don't recall how it addresses new construction.
I guess I misunderstood. I thought that's where you were going with that. So maybe can you say it one more time?
Basically, the requirement that we have here in the permit comes directly out of Title 22. So Title 22 is, you know, very clear that irrigation cannot occur within 50 feet of any domestic water supply well or domestic water supply surface intake. It does provide some actual ability for the discharger to get exceptions to that, so they could actually request lesser setbacks. But we're just explaining that this language in the permit does come directly from Title 22. Okay. And I have to imagine that it's intended to address both existing and potential future well construction.
Mr. Chair, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So thank you for finding the 50-foot, because I couldn't find it here a couple minutes ago. At the same time, Are you saying then that would it be logical then to include that the requirement of siting or location of wells as part of the technical report?
Yes.
Okay. And I see Jim Flugum saying yes. Okay.
And an issue was raised regarding whether there should be a greater setback in some situations, and I think we can also look at that in the technical report. If there are slopes leading down to that well, perhaps additional setbacks may be necessary, and that's all, you know, reflected in the technical report, where they have to identify the wells and the irrigation areas and slopes, and we could look at that and assess the risk to water quality.
Just a suggestion, if we're going to do that, we might want to call that out in some, at least because the technical report requirements in here are not explicit in that manner, and we're just going on verbal here. So if we're going to do that, maybe we could just amend this as we're going towards adoption, I think, here. But as we do that, we might want to just call that out as an addition just to the technical report menu of things that should be included, just to be complete.
So in the technical report section.
Why don't you go on?
Okay. So John's going to kind of brainstorm on that one while I move ahead. We were asked to come back and talk a little bit about the streamlined permitting, things that are addressed in the permit. And these are addressed on page G1 of attachment G, and it's item or water reclamation finding A3. And again, we pulled this language directly out of the recycled water policy. Actually, it refers to paragraph 7C of the recycled water policy, and it lays out the specific things that have to be met in order to comply with streamlined permitting, and that includes compliance with Title 22 regulations, also the requirement for agronomic rates, soils that aren't saturated, and, you know, an operations and management plan. We also have the requirement that a salt and nutrient management plan has not been prepared for groundwater, the basin underlying the reuse areas, and that the discharger needs to communicate to users the nutrient levels in the recycled water so that users can appropriately evaluate fertilizer needs. I think we added item 4 as a way of working with the discharger to not explicitly require that they regulate the user's fertilizer use, but that they have a way of educating the recycled water user. So assuming that all of these things are met, then a recycled water use could be eligible for streamlined permitting. For obvious reasons, frost protection doesn't fall under this. It doesn't meet all of these requirements. But we have examples where, you know, this would apply. Vintage Green Subdivision in Windsor might be a good example. It's an area where the town supplies recycled water to, I think, something like 400 homes. They're all in an area, you know, with similar soils and you know, slope and such. And so streamlined permitting, you know, would easily draw something like that in.
Sure.
Do you have anything to say on
regarding the well issue? Greg pointed out that there is a condition in the technical report that all wells within 200 feet of irrigation areas be identified on the map. So we at least will have information if wells are located in that proximity, and it already requires identification of slopes and ways where runoff may be short-circuited to those wells, and we could apply appropriate BMPs in those cases.
Good show. Thanks. Okay.
Covered that some in up here, but I guess it's we've covered that then. So anything else that you, John, or Kim can think of that I didn't cover?
The thing about the 1,000 gallons.
Oh, I talked about that. Wake up. Yeah, so I think we've covered each of the issues that the board asked us to address. If we've missed anything, you know, we're certainly here to be reminded.
Any other board member questions or comments about that?
None here.
No? Okay. Thanks, guys. Healdsburg, would anybody like to comment on that? No? Okay. All right, any comments from EO or council? Okay. I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
I will give you a motion to adopt the, get back to the front here, permit for R12210-0034, the adoption of a waste discharge requirement and a master reclamation permit for the city of Healdsburg.
As amended by?
As staff. Amended by staff.
Second. Oh,
late revisions.
With the additions of six and the additions of the staff.
And you probably need to incorporate the revisions that Kathy just outlined as well.
Yes. I meant when I said by staff, said I meant that. Those plus these.
As amended. As amended.
As amended.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Just 11A.
Yes. 11A.
Okay. Yeah. I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you.
Before you go to discussion.
So I have a motion, I have a second, and I have a comment from Mr. Corbett.
I just want to say
I will support the motion. I think that if this reopener language comes back as a boilerplate model in the future, will be pretty strongly opposed because I don't think it addresses the concerns I outlined. However, I think we have a very peculiar set of facts. We have both councils signed on board. It does not have an effect on the environment. I will defer to Mr. Massey. It is time to get this job done. But I think in particular on page 27G, there still are the remaining issues I have. It won't affect, but I am prepared to vote for the motion exactly as stated. I just want to give a heads up that if it should come back, I think there are flaws in our general reopener language. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Corbett. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Go to your son's birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The board will now break for lunch. We are back from our...